We got good news because we have peace on earth. We got good news because peace on earth is not just a possibility. It is a reality in Jesus Christ. And so I'm actually not going to be long today. So Merry Christmas. This is my gift to you as a pastor. This is only available on Christmases that fall on Sunday. So if you live long enough, you'll get this gift about four times. I want to talk about empty. Because here in a little while, right now, we're in the midst of the day. And some of you have had a few presents. And a lot of you have planned this thing out so well. I just want to compliment you all as families. I have been really excited to watch how the families have really put Jesus in the center of the celebration. And that blesses my heart. Because you know what? I want more young men like Alex. I want more young men. I tell you what, he's been encouraging his pastor's heart for 6 weeks. Because he's taught me how we ought to be responding to the grace of God. Pastor Steve, I'm going to get baptized on Christmas. And the day I went back there and I stuck my head where they were all getting ready. And I said, Alex, this is the day. He goes, I know. But I think it's pretty amazing that we have a child his age that's more excited about confessing his faith than what else is going on today. And there's some pretty exciting children's stuff going on today. And some of you've opened some presents. Some of you got some presents to go. Some of you got some homes to go to. We got a lot more eating to do today, right? Right? Looks like most of you are okay right now. Looks like we've had no overload on the eggnog. You know? I love to watch Baptists drink eggnog. Oh, I taste nutmeg in there. Can I have another? Yeah. Y'all be careful with those things. But we celebrate. But after we finish celebrating, I got to thinking about Christmas. They all end the same way. They all end the same way. Every Christmas that is full ends the same way, with empty boxes. In just a little while, the evening will occur, and it's kind of like the Christmas story. You know, if you're married, it'd be you and mom, and you look at each other, and you smile that Christmas went well, and you reflect a little bit knowing, wow, that went fast. For us this morning, Blake and Clacy stood at the steps. And I looked at mom and I go, wow, this time next year, Blake will have some different Christmas morning experiences because he'll be married. Wow. Elizabeth goes, well, that mean? I said, well, I really wasn't thinking about Santa Claus early on Christmas. Or our first year of marriage was a different Christmas. She's forgotten a lot of things over the years. Things have changed and things change. But you know what? Every Christmas, no matter if it's your first Christmas together or you've celebrated many Christmases together, they all end the same way, with empty boxes. And I got to thinking about these empty boxes because empty boxes intrigue me. How many of y'all remember when you first got married, you had your first child, and it was the first time to do Christmas? How many of you overloaded the situation and realized that one-year-olds don't play with shotguns? So I just took that gift. Are you realize, you know, you bought a couple of toys, and what did they love? Boxes! Fact, Blake's second Christmas, we just got him peanuts. Those styrofoam peanuts, you know, they'll open the gift. How many of y'all have seen this happen? They open the gift, toss the toy, and play with the peanuts. There's something about the boxes. So this evening, by the time it's all done, empty boxes. Now, some of you are very professional Christmas planners. In fact, you know, we all open presents different ways, don't we? Some of you all have households where it's a free-for-all and everybody just goes into the tree. Others of you, it's very organized and, you know, somebody's appointed to be the present passer-outer and you go around the room and each person opens one gift at a time. That always annoyed me as a child. But, oh, what did you get? Under Rouge, thank you, Aunt so-and-so. And you go through this, but it ends with empty boxes. So whether it's a free-for-all under the tree or whether it's very organized, it still ends in the same place, empty boxes. And so I got to thinking, I said, wait a minute. The reason Christmas ends with empty boxes is because that's what the first Christmas ended with. Heaven became empty so earth could become full. Jesus came to us. Jesus came to us. Paul understood this concept of the empty box. And he says in Philippians 2, verse 5, that Christ came. Philippians 2, 5, he said he did not consider himself to be equal. But guess what he did? He vanquished his position in heaven and he came to earth. Jesus became empty of heaven so that I and that you and the rest of the world could do what? Could do what? Receive him. Look at verse 6. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But what did he do in verse 7? He made himself a what? Servant. But he made himself nothing.
Empty boxes. Tissue paper.
Styrofoam peanuts. Taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in what? Human likeness.
Now, how many of y'all understand that's the miracle? You see, that's the miracle that Alex was excited about.
Jesus was a boy like me. Think about it. Jesus was like Alex at one time. In fact, Jesus got so excited when he went to the temple, he forgot to go home. Got in a little trouble there. He was in the seventh grade. Any of y'all ever worked with junior high students or been a junior high pastor? It's interesting to me that there's only one report of Jesus in his adolescence. And he was in trouble then. And then we pick up after Jesus has cleared adolescence, coming and becoming the servant to humanity. God emptied himself so that you and I might live. Now that's good news, isn't it? Hark, the herald angels. You know why? You know why the heavens were singing? Because they were being emptied unto earth. I want to give you three positions that God emptied himself into. And for just a moment, I want you to think and say, wait a minute, where am I still living? There's some good news on the empty. If God wasn't empty, we couldn't be here. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, go, I get that. Come on, go ahead and tell. Work a little bit, come on. It's Christmas morning. If God hadn't emptied, we couldn't be here. Does that make sense? Now I'm gonna give you these three positions of the empty. And I praise God for these empties. The first one you see today, you know what I'm thankful for? There's an empty manger. That's good news, isn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you are an empty manger? You see, some of you received Christ a long time ago, but you're still laying in the manger. You're not a baby anymore. How many of you are glad to know that Jesus refused to stay a baby? If God had stayed in the manger, guess what? No hope. If God had stayed in the manger, we wouldn't have been here. If God had just come
and appeared, it would not have been enough. But how many of you, it's just enough to lay in the manger? So if you're in the manger, guess what I'm going to encourage you to do on this beautiful Christmas day? Get out. Empty your manger. How many of y'all need to empty some mangers you have in your life? Still living in those things that God told you not to live in. Still testing God on those things that hold you back. You need to become empty of those so you can become filled with God. I praise God for an empty manger, don't you? How many of y'all glad to know it's empty? Amen. Now watch this. It became empty because God went on. He went on to the next thing that's empty. Thank God for an empty cross. Thank God for an empty cross. Jesus went to the cross. He didn't stay there. So some of you still living on the cross. Do you realize that? You live on the cross. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said we live through the cross, not on the cross. The cross lives in us. We don't live on it. Our sins are forgiven. Merry Christmas. How many of you thank God for empty crosses? There's an empty cross. How many of y'all got an empty cross? See that cross? It is an emblem of His suffering and shame so that my suffering and shame can be emptied and I can go on. I thank God for an empty cross, don't you? An empty manger, an empty cross. And today I want you to know, if you haven't picked up that gift, you got to pick up that gift, because Jesus left the manger and went to the cross. Now let me explain this real clear. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, none of us in this room could be forgiven. We could be born, but not forgiven. How many of you all would like to be born and not forgiven? Let me tell you how bad it is. It's as bad as a toy without the batteries. You could see what it could do. You could dream about what it could be, but it will never activate. Let me encourage you, my brothers and sisters, on this Christmas morning, God is not finished with His people. I don't care what the USA Today says. I don't care what the television says. I don't care what the bloggers say. God is not finished with His people. And when the world says God can't do it, Jesus says, I'm not in the manger. I'm on the cross. When our sin put God on the cross, the sin of the world put Him on the cross, I want to praise God, He won't stay there. And so where did they put Him? They put Him in a tomb. In fact, they were so convinced that we could confine Jesus, they wrapped Him up. Now they thought they were wrapping Him for death. But God was wrapping Him to show you the finality of Christmas. You see, Christmas is a present that keeps on giving. Christmas is that gift from God that never goes away. Christmas is a hope that will not be defeated, a peace that will become a reality, a joy that is beyond anything we can conjure up, and a love that is absolutely unconditional. And you know what? It was born in a manger. Born in a manger. It willingly went to the cross. He did. And then we packed Him in the tomb. It still amazes me. Why was the world so scared of a dead man if he was just a man? Why was the world so scared of a dead man? You know what's amazing? The government of that day was as scared of a dead Jesus as they are now of a risen one. What did they place by that tomb? Anybody remember?
Who needs to guard a dead man if he's just a man? I've never thought about going over there to Fairview Cemetery, standing over a grave because I'm scared that it's going to get back up. Because if they did, I wouldn't be there long anyway. They put guards over the package. Hold on. How many of you are still trying to package Jesus? How many of you are still trying to tell Jesus the space he can live in? No, you see, Jesus freely came, freely gave. He was God in flesh. He wasn't just a man. Let me tell you what I praise God for this Christmas more than anything. I do praise God for an empty manger because he had to come. I praise God for an empty cross because, Bobby, I had to be forgiven. By the way, happy birthday. It's Christmas Sunday. Bobby wandered into this church on a Christmas Sunday. He wandered in and God said, Bobby, manger's empty. Cross is real. And Bobby, they can't package me. I am the sovereign, almighty King of Kings. They can read about me. They can talk about me. They can write about me. They can make movies about me. They can crucify me on a cross. They can lay me in the grave. But I'm telling you, my daddy's not from here. My daddy's not from here. And they didn't make my daddy. My daddy made them. And that's why on the third day, early in the morning, Christmas was finally complete as God kicked the rhythm of heaven on the stone of man. And the stone rolled away. And an almighty risen Savior came out, and guess what he said? Hark, the herald angels sing. Unto you this day, final hope has been in place. Final peace is now in motion. Joy that will never be defeated. Joy that can never be taken away is in motion. And when he steps from that grave and he unwraps his grave clothes and folds them and gently lays them in a tomb of death, he steps out with one big word. I love you. The greatest empty I know is an empty tomb with unwrapped grave clothes laying by its side, because God said, I will empty so you can be full. Merry Christmas. You and I worship the God of an empty manger, an empty cross, and an empty tomb, so that we might receive a full life. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. Amen. So today, church, I just can't do it. I can't talk about the greatest gift in the world and not give somebody an opportunity to unwrap it in them. Amen. We're going to have an altar today. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this would be a phenomenal Christmas. You know what I'd do? I'd come and confess my faith in Jesus right now on this Christmas day. Say, what about being baptized? We're doing it again in about 30 minutes. Some of you are going, well, I didn't plan on that. God did. Or did you plan on being here today? Absolutely. Yeah, but what about 10 years ago?
Oh, no.
Guess what? God did.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad he did. And I'm glad he did for your wife and for Jordan. I'm glad God brought you here. You know why I'm here preaching you today? It's because there's an empty manger. And there's an empty cross. And there's an empty tomb. And if God hadn't done it, we can't do it. But he's already done it. And so if you will, for a moment, if you'll just look at that altar and let the Holy Spirit create a vision in you. You know what's at this altar today? These are the gifts at this altar today. The greatest hope of humanity. A hope that comes from God, that can only be given by God. The greatest peace that can be received is at this altar today. It's in Jesus. Joy. Joy that comes in the morning, stays with you in the afternoon, and brings you through the evening. That joy is at this altar. Let me tell you what else is here. Let me tell you how much God loves you. He loves you so much that he'll love everything that's killing you out of you. You know how God brings us to heaven? He loves us into heaven. He loves us into heaven. So you know what? Receive the love of God. Dance in it. Celebrate it. Love those that are around you. But today, sometime during that day, when the evening comes and the boxes are laying in the family room and the tissue paper's everywhere, even if you're going to recycle it, look at it. And I'd bow my head and say, "Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, you yourself to us. I'm glad you didn't demand your rights, because he was equal to heaven. But he didn't demand his rights. He gave his gift. A baby born in a manger, crucified on a cross, victorious over an empty tomb, so that you and I might live." So I say live on today. Amen. So I want to invite you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to come today and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life." You ought to be overwhelmed. Listen, if God will save Alex, he'll save you. I don't care if you're 100. If you don't know Jesus, guess what? You've had 100 useless years. Did you realize that? If you don't know Jesus, just take your age, and that's how long you've been living toward hell. But let me tell you the truth. In a millisecond of heaven, he will redirect you toward heaven. How many of you are glad to be living toward heaven? We're living toward heaven. That's why we need Christmas. We need Easter. We need moments in the year that bam, wake us up and say, "Wait a minute. This is the day God is bringing me toward heaven. May I go that way." If you'd like to be baptized in the next service, there's still plenty of water. You say, "Well, I didn't bring anything." We got it. We stay fully prepared here. Jamie was a Boy Scout for 3 days. When he had to go camping outside, he got scared and quit. He thought he could do it all by video. But Jamie, we're prepared, aren't we? That's the Boy Scout motto. I was a Boy Scout. I was almost an Eagle Scout, but then I met Elizabeth. And it was between whittling and flirting. I chose flirting. I went from Eagle Scout to, you know, fly like an eagle. There you go. God wants to empty you of some things today. How many of y'all need an empty box up here? How many of y'all would love to be empty of your shame, your guilt, your disappointment, the things in life that just didn't go like you thought they were going to go? Some of you today, you could have a Christmas if you would just allow God to take all that bitterness and envy and strife and jealousy out of your life and just leave it here at this altar, and God will take it on to hell where it belongs. How many of you all need to receive the fullness of God because he was willing to empty heaven for your namesake? That's pretty amazing. Why did God come? Because he chose to come. What happens because he comes? Is you and I get to live. So I'm saying this morning, live on. If you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, tell him, "Lord Jesus, come into my what?" Life. There you go. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Receive me. If you've never been baptized, we want to open that up to you. Now listen, I love a lot of you. I've known a lot of you a long time. I have gray hair now. If you've known me since I had hair with no gray in it and you're not saved, the odometer is clicking. We do not have tomorrow. And can I ask you a question? Can you tell me why an individual would put salvation off? Can you logically help me understand that? I got some of my friends, if you could hit them to save them, I'd be punching all the time. Because here's what they tell me.
Well, Pastor Steve, I'm going to get around to that.
I go, when? Well, someday. You know what I know? The devil's conning them. If you're getting around to it someday, there'll never be that day. What about right now? Right now, God's saving you. He saved you 2,000 years ago. He was born in that manger. Shepherds did come. Angels did sing. And God will save you. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Some of you go, well, now, Pastor Steve, I've done a lot of bad things. Yes, so have I. You know how many bad things it takes to go to hell? One. How many of y'all qualify? Good. Just checking. Merry Christmas. I know Santa Claus has been checking his list. See, Jesus is a lot better than Santa Claus. Jesus don't even read the list. He said, I know you've all fallen short. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be born in a manger, crucified on a cross. I'm going to overcome death through the empty tomb, and I'm going to invite all of y'all to come with me. One day, there's going to be one gigantic Christmas. Be pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to sit up in heaven, and we're going to be on a big banquet table. And we're going to eat country ham and never fear a heart attack. At lunch, we're going to have Big Macs for hours. And then in the evening, we're having nothing but a chocolate dessert bar. And in the morning, we're going to wake up and all of you women can wear whatever jeans you want to. And all of us men will have a six pack at the pool. Now, down in hell, it's the total opposite. You could smell Big Macs, but never eat one. You can see chocolate, but never taste it. Because you know what hell is? I want you to hear. Hell is almost heaven. You want to live in hell? Then live almost to heaven. Because what hell is you're telling God, I don't need this manger. I don't need your cross. And I don't buy your empty tomb. You're going to do the Sinatra deal. I did it my way. Well, if you'll read the Bible just a few pages in, it'll tell you that our way, our thinking, our wisdom, our structures will not lead us to heaven. If you're a little sharp, you can denote that our way usually leads us into debt, not freedom. But God's way leads to what? Freedom. Isn't it interesting? We like to buy stuff before we can pay for it. That's kind of our groove. Jesus paid for it, so we didn't have to buy it. So now he can give it. So I just encourage you, greatest thing that happened to you on Christmas is receive God's salvation in Jesus Christ. He said, well, Pastor Steve, I'm from out of town. That's fine. We'll baptize you and find you a church. Yeah. So, well, I don't know if my family can wait 30 minutes. They can if you're a believer. If you got a believing family, they'll wait all day. Do you all know a greater gift?
No.
Me either. Me either. Well, let's pray. Lord, we're going to open this altar. God, Merry Christmas. Lord, I thank you for the excitement in this room because you are our God. None like you. None like you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful baby girl that was dedicated today. I thank you for the baptisms that were celebrated. But Lord, I thank you right now for the people that are going to open your gift for the first time. Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit draw them to salvation. Lord, I don't know who it is. I don't know how many there are, but you do. You know every hair on the heads of those who've gathered today. So Lord, you know their heart. So, Lord, I just pray right now. Listen, you can open your eyes. If you know you need to receive Christ, tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. If you've already done that, you might have done that last night's service or with your family, and you say, I need to be baptized. You don't have to be baptized next service unless you want to be. But you know what? You can come and say, you know what? I want to start the new year out right. I want to be on track. January 1, next Sunday, I want to start out confessing my faith in Jesus and living that way forever. It sounds like a good deal. Hello? So, church, I'm going to ask you to stand. Come with your families. Feel free at the altar. This altar is everybody's altar because God is a God of everybody invitation. And so right now, as this altar is open, will you come and receive Christ, be baptized, pray, be healed? Church, this altar's yours. Merry Christmas. Come and see. Come and gather. Come and be. Thank you, Lord.